This is the official Ghent competition text. This is the competition dictation in the real-time competition in Ghent 2013. Competition text begins. We have defined universal health coverage as a legal mandate for universal access to health services. Evidence suggests that the vast majority of the population has meaningful access to these services. Out of 192 countries studied, 75 had legislation requiring universal access to health care services independent of income. Of those countries, most met the criteria based on available measures of coverage, including that 90% of the population had access to skilled birth attendants and insurance coverage. Why do some countries have universal health coverage while others do not? Providing universal health coverage is primarily a political, not a technical issue. Countries without a health system for everyone are likely to have one or more of the following characteristics. They may have a lack of effective control over the entire country, a weak tax collection capacity, or insufficient human and physical resources to deliver effective health care. Poverty is likely to be an obstacle to health coverage to the extent that it is associated with the lack of a functioning state and health system. However, being poor is not an excuse to reject proper health care, and low-income regions have successfully implemented health care systems in the past. Universal health coverage is one of the most widely shared goals in global health. The concept captures a common set of common values. Among them are equity, shared responsibility, and quality health care delivery that is independent of an ability to pay. Universal coverage focuses primarily on the achievement of a wide network of health providers and health institutions so that the vast majority of the population can have access to health services. Of course, not all countries agree on the components that make up adequate coverage. There are always great debates in a country about the appropriate roles of the public and private sectors. There will always be arguments about whether state or local governments should provide health care or whether it should be financed by a national government. Who is entitled to health coverage? Will it be everyone? Will health services be offered to the young and old, the sick and healthy, and rich and poor alike? Governments must decide what contribution health can make to the advancement of society before they will be able to answer these questions. Considerations of politics and power shape the decision of leaders to commit to universal health coverage. Although much has been written about the mechanics of expanding health care and the consequences of financial contributions at all levels, much less has been written about the power and politics behind the choices to expand healthcare access. Many countries aspire to a system of healthcare for all their citizens. We must bear in mind that every country faces a unique and changing political climate that must be taken into account when applying lessons learned elsewhere. However, we have done an extensive amount of research into this subject. That research has allowed us to identify three main strategies for the successful implementation of a universal health system. First, we have to structure the debate differently. Second, we need to identify and create political opportunities for success. Third, we have to mobilize all our resources. A first step in health system change is that the current system must fall out of favor with the public or other key stakeholders. If the public and the medical profession are not happy with the current system, that's when the discussions can start. When the status quo is deemed unsatisfactory and a consensus is built among powerful groups that there is a need for change, the system can be reformed or restructured. There are two main arguments that support changing the current system. If costs are out of control, there is a need to rein them in. If the system doesn't deliver adequate care, or if it fails to deliver appropriate care, then the system will be criticized and the discussions can start on how best to change it. Health ministers, as with other ministers who spend money, typically occupy weak positions in government. The expansion of health coverage often has a low priority among their colleagues. There is evidence that ministers can shift the terms of the debate to gain support for change by showing that the existing healthcare system is failing to address inequalities and control disease. Health ministers will have to decide which issues will resonate with other key stakeholders. They will have to decide which issues will attract support and which will be opposed in the current political situation. In most countries, the debate may shift from the perceived expense of coverage to the value of investment in the country's future. Choices about how to organize the health system today impact the way it develops tomorrow. It is best to establish a universal health system early on. Private systems tend to be more costly and less efficient at achieving public health goals. Once private health care is the main system in a country, it is very difficult to change later on to systems that expand the coverage to everyone. Health care reform can be either a gradual reform or a rapid change. Political leaders who are visionary may be able to implement change quickly and effectively. Institutions that are already in place may obstruct rapid change. Whether a country pursues gradual or rapid health system change and development is really a political issue rather than a technical choice. Of course, the political spectrum varies in different countries. Typically, one side tends to favor the gradual expansion of coverage based on insurance. The other party tends to provide space for a wider range of opinions, favoring social insurance and more gradual expansion of benefits. Public systems tend to expand when there is a strong tax revenue base. Private systems tend to develop when there is an absence of public funding.